today as we come to the table.
If you're in that place of weak hands and feeble knees, here's what I'm supposed to say to you. And here's what you're supposed to say to each other. And here's what we're supposed to say to everyone else. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Are you fearful hearted tonight? Are you fearful hearted? Don't be fearful hearted. We know there's going to be these kind of things. The Lord said you're going to see more pestilence in the last days. And to see them back to back doesn't surprise me. He said you're going to be seeing these things, whether man-made, whether not man-made. That's not the argument. He said you're going to see them.
The world can be a scary place. Lots of things happen that can be detrimental to our way of life and to our peace. But the Lord says not to be fearful. There's no reason to fear the things of this world because He is always in control and His plan will come to fruition. God remains in control no matter what happens. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you through whatever it is you may be facing. God is in control. There's no reason to fear any disasters because God is the God of peace and protection. If you've accepted Jesus, there is a place for you in heaven. Death isn't in your future. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Open your Bible to chapter 35 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35. As you guys are finding your way there, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless it. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can now go to Israel as a body right now. We're going, Lord, to Jerusalem in chapter 35. We're going up, Lord, on the highway of holiness to praise you and glorify you. And I pray you'd pour out your spirit. I pray you'd open your word to us. And Lord, let us walk on that highway of holiness even tonight. Let us walk in the clouds with our God. And Lord, we know we live down here for now, but it sure is nice to get to visit you, Lord, in the higher planes from time to time. And I pray now that would be the case, that we could walk in that higher plane with you tonight. That mountaintop, Lord, as you pour out your spirit, as you breathe on us from heaven. As you pour out your stream, Lord, that flows from the south side of your throne in the New Jerusalem, well, let it pour on us tonight and open your word to us. We love you, Lord, and we bless you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Isaiah, again, we come to certain places where we get to see the thousand-year reign. Again, the Bible says when the Lord comes back, we're going to go first with him for 7 years for a wedding feast. And if you mid-trib, then you'll be there half the time that we are, but you get to come. If you're post-trib, you'll show up at the very end. But either way, we'll get to all gather together for that. And by the time that's done, we'll all come back down to the earth. And we'll be here for 1,000 years on the earth. And I say that all tongue-in-cheek. By the way, you guys know that. That's not a divisive, shouldn't be a divisive issue on where you stand on that. I'm having fun with it. But either way, I will be enjoying that full 7 years. But either way, they will all come back to the earth. And for 1,000 years, we're going to be here ruling and reigning with the Lord. And he gives us some descriptions of what it's going to be like. And when you really kind of picture this in your mind, it is just so exciting. And so that's where we start in chapter 35. It's a picture of the coming glory. You know, the prophets, they go back and forth with different things in Scripture. And so this, he jumps right into the Lord when he comes back. And look at chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. That's for us and for the earth as it's restored. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. So think about it. The whole earth is going to spring back to life. The deserts will spring to life. There'll be springs, literal springs everywhere. There's only going to be one area that's going to be deserty and smoldering, and that is the Babylon area, somewhere probably over toward ancient Babylon, that region. God's going to bring judgment down there toward Edom, toward Petra. That area, when God judges them, he's going to so toast it, the Bible says, that it's going to stay kind of smoldering during the thousand-year reign, which is interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about Petra tonight. Petra was developed by a volcano. It's actually an opening to an ancient volcano. So to think that God's going to make it a place that's going to just be demolished and smoldering for 1,000 years, it may be something that God even opens up again from underneath the earth there in Petra as he brings his judgment against those armies that are attacking the children of Israel down there. Again, we'll talk about that more in a moment. The earth will blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. So there's going to be singing all over the earth. Everywhere you go, there's going to be singing and rejoicing. Everybody will know the Lord. Everyone will be praising the Lord. Now, again, there'll be some born later on as we go into the 1,000 years. Remember, some mortals will be going in. Those that make it through the great tribulation, they're going to go into the millennial kingdom if they come to Christ after the rapture. If they give their life to the Lord, they're still going to get in. They'll be getting married. They'll be having children. Some of them won't know the Lord. That's a whole other story. Again, I know we're not going to get sidelined on that, but the majority of the world will know the Lord, be praising the Lord everywhere you go, rejoicing, singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Again, Lebanon historically has been a beautifully glorious place. It's not so much today, but in history and past, forest and some of the greatest, it's almost like the redwoods that we have here in America. That's what the cedars of Lebanon were like. 200 feet tall. There's still some of them left. Most of them have been cut down or whatever, thousands of years old, and just beautiful, giant. They're going to revive, and that whole area will revive. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, that is the northern Israel area, will spring back to life in its original beauty. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. So the earth's going to be the way God intended it to be before we messed it up in the fall. And notice what he says. Because of this, now we read that, and then he gives encouragement to you tonight. And to me tonight. And this is what he says. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Do any of you tonight feel like you have weak hands and feeble knees? And he's not talking about age. It could be, you could make that application. If you're very old and you have feeble hands and weak knees, certainly it applies to that as well. But the general application here is talking about an emotional state, a heart issue. Are you just broken down? You just don't seem to have strength. You've lost your motivation. Your knees, it's hard to even carry on in life, and your hands are weak to do what you know you need to do just to survive. Some of you single moms, and you're trying to survive and take care of your family and work, and there's no husband there to help, or maybe a husband that's lost his job, and you're trying to survive, or maybe it's a death, of someone near that you loved recently or whatever, and you just feel weak. We all have that. Listen, you're not alone in that. We all go through these different times of our life. And the Lord knows what you're going through, and God gives you the body of Christ around you to encourage you, and that's why fellowship is so important. And even when fellowship is not around you, the Lord is there to strengthen you. And so God has given a specific word, and probably to some of you tonight, saying, if you're in that place of weak hands and feeble knees, here's what I'm supposed to say to you, and here's what you're supposed to say to each other, and here's what we're supposed to say to everyone else. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Are you fearful-hearted tonight? Are you fearful-hearted? Don't be fearful-hearted. We know there's going to be these kind of things. The Lord said you're going to see more pestilence in the last days. And to see them back-to-back doesn't surprise me. He said you're going to be seeing these things, whether man-made, whether not man-made. That's not the argument. He said you're going to see them. It's going to happen. So regardless of what your opinion is of what's going on in the world today, the reality is he said it's going to be there. And here's what he says right in the midst of it. Don't be fearful-hearted. Now, if the Lord tells us right in the midst of all these kind of things not to be fearful-hearted, that means he gives the ability not to be. He will never ask you to do something that he will not give you the ability to do. And so if you're fearful-hearted, your hands are weak, and your knees are feeble, then just tell the Lord, I'm all those. I'm shaky all over mentally, emotionally. I'm fearful-hearted. I see these things. What's going to happen? I don't know. He says, bring it to me. Don't be fearful-hearted, and here's why. Again, we have to not only will he give you strength now, but he wants us to look toward the future, which is where chapter 35 is going to take us here in a moment, even more so. But he wants you to look toward the future and say, I'm coming to save you. I'm coming to rescue you. I'm going to come back. There will be vengeance. I will destroy your enemies. I'm going to revive you. I'm going to do everything for you and restore you. He said, well, what if it doesn't happen in my lifetime? Even if he doesn't, he's going to come and save us because he's going to come get us when we leave these bodies. So the Lord is going to rescue us. People oftentimes, well, what if the Lord doesn't come back in our lifetime? And you talk about the Lord coming back in our lifetime. Look, even if he doesn't physically come back in our lifetime, which, as you know, I strongly believe he's going to, and I think we're very close, even if he doesn't, remember, very soon all of us in this room are going to him. He lives so long. There's only, we have so many days. 10 out of every 10 leave these bodies. I mean, there's no such thing as a person that doesn't die. It just depends on when. And of course, the good news is we talk about die in the sense of these bodies. We never die. Now, we don't know what that's going to be like other than we'll never die. Really, the only thing we'll know, you know, we're never going to experience death, so we're not going to ever know what death is like. Is that a wild thought or what? Nobody in this room will ever experience death. That's a wild thought, isn't it? People that don't know Jesus, every one of them will experience death. Every one of them. Now, your body will die. I'm not saying you won't quit breathing and your body die. Okay, I get that. But whatever's going to happen, he promised us. He said there's going to be, you won't die. So whoever, whatever makes us, our soul, our spirit, when these bodies quit breathing, it's not like the lights go out. It's like we just kind of stop and then we keep right on going and there's the Lord. And he escorts us into the kingdom. And it would appear that the angels are there escorting us. We see that in scripture. We see the Lord there welcoming us as well. And so, you know, again, it's exciting to realize that we have that hope. And so if you're fearful hearted, take it to the Lord and say, God, take away my fear. You know, as it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if tonight you have a fearful heart, you can rest assured the Lord did not give that to you. It's either you or the enemy. And so you can go to the Lord and say, look, I'm either giving myself fear or the enemy's giving me fear. Would you just now give me your spirit? Because I want your joy and I want your rest and I want your peace. And he'll do it. He says, tell them that. Say that. He wants me to encourage you in that tonight. You're never going to die. And you don't have to be afraid. And he wants you to receive that in the name of the Lord and rejoice in it. He will come and save you. Notice also during this time, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. There'll be nobody blind in the kingdom. Again, and also the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Well, you know, eyes were given to see the glory of the Lord. Ears were given to hear the glory of the Lord. So there's no way during the kingdom God can allow there to be anyone who's deaf or anyone who's blind because we have to be able to see God's glory and hear his glory. It's going to be a wonderful thing. He says, the lame shall leap like a deer. So everyone that wasn't able to walk here will be leaping like a deer. The tongue of the dumb will sing. That is those that are mute that can't speak. They'll be singing songs to the Lord. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And that's what we talked about. It's all going to come to life. It's all going to spring to life. As a matter of fact, remember the Bible says that when the Lord comes back, that there's going to be a stream that flows from the left side of the throne of the Lord. If you're facing it, that'd be on the south side. The Mount of Olives is going to split in two. Jerusalem is going to rise up. It'll be the only mountain, it would appear, during the thousand-year kingdom. Now, if you're a mountain climber, I promise you're not going to be disappointed. Nobody's going to get in the kingdom and go, man, I'm really disappointed. You're going to get there and go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So I don't know how God's going to do all that, but there's going to be a mountain that's going to raise up. All the other mountains will be leveled, it says. How high it's going to raise up, it doesn't tell us. But again, according to estimates, it's going to be probably over a 20-mile platform. You look at the Temple Mount today, it's 40 acres. That's big, but that's not 25, 26 miles, which it would appear from some of the calculations in Scripture, is what I've been told. And I haven't done those calculations, but it's going to be a large platform either way. It's going to be raised up, and there's going to be a stream coming down the south side of it, a beautiful crystal clear stream bursting forth out from underneath the Temple Mount there, going down between where the Mount of Olives splits. It'll go two directions, down toward the Dead Sea, down toward the Jordan, toward the east, and then down toward the west, toward the ocean. And it says the water's going to be so pure and holy from God, when it touches the waters, it'll heal all the waters of the ocean. From all the destruction that happens during the Great Tribulation, all the waters of the ocean will be restored and beautified. All the beautiful creatures that'll be there in the water, there'll be animals during the thousand-year kingdom. It'll be, the ocean will be flourishing with animals and fish, and the land will be flourishing with animals. Remember, this is not heaven yet. Now, it's heaven in the sense of we're with Jesus. And anytime we're with Jesus, that's heaven. But it's not the new heaven you read about at the end of the book of Revelation. This is before that for 1,000 years. This is where it says in Isaiah 9:6, and the government will be upon his shoulders. That is yet to be fulfilled. He will rule and reign. Well, when it goes down the other direction toward the east, it's going to go down and hit the Jordan River and swoop on down, hit the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is going to spring to life. And those of you that have been to the Dead Sea, you get to go in the Dead Sea. It is dead. And there's nothing alive in it. You go in there and it's so full of salt and so saturated with salt, nothing could live in it. You literally float in it. You've probably heard about that. You're going to just kind of jump in and you just kind of float. You can't make yourself go under, right? And it's pretty amazing. It's going to spring to life and be a major fishing port. People are going to go down there and fish all the time. There'll be boats out there. It's going to be amazing, the Bible says. And so all this is going to happen. Well, he talks about the streams in the wilderness. You think about that stream, what it's going to be like, how sparkling and beautiful the water is and the fish playing and just the little animals. And it's going to be great. And notice verse 7, the parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. It's going to be just, you know, lush with greenery, you know, and moisture. Now notice this. This is what I love about what it's going to be like for us. I love this glimpse God gives us. A highway, and I did that on purpose, shall be there, and a road, and this should be called the highway of holiness. Now why am I pausing between those two? Because that's really how it reads in the language. We think of highway, I-40, right? And whatever. That's our highway. This is not the same word. It's not the same idea. Yes, it is a pathway. It is a way. It is a traveling a road, if you will. But it literally means a high, lifted up way that's going to be connected to the mountain of Jerusalem once it's raised up. Now picture that. It's going to be up off the ground, it would appear, from the language, which means you'll get on this high road, walking above the ground, going up to this mountain toward Jerusalem, and it's going to be limited on who can be on it and what happens. Listen to this. I love this. It says, the unclean shall not pass over it. So again, those that we talked about that'll be unsaved during the millennial kingdom, they'll not be allowed to walk on it. Only those that are saved can walk on it as you head up to Jerusalem. But it shall be for others, and that is for us, those that are saved. Notice this. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. In other words, it's going to lead to one place. You can't miss it. It's going to have the gates, on the boundaries on the side. It's going to go right up. Where it starts, I don't know. But it's going to be up off the ground. It's going to travel all the way up to this mountain that's raised up there in Jerusalem. We're all going to be walking on it. We're going to be, even somebody, they got saved, but maybe they're not real, you know, maybe they're young and they've been foolish, you know, but they've given their life to the Lord during the millennial kingdom. And now they're walking on it for the first time. He said, look, if you get on this road, you can't miss it. It leads to Jesus. And I love the fact that it calls it, it's the way to Jesus. It's the highway of holiness. And guys, the same thing is true today. If you get on the road toward Jesus, you can't go wrong. Even a fool, if they'll just turn to Jesus and say, I believe in you and what you did for me on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way. And nobody goes to the Father except by me. He is that way. We'll be walking on that one road that goes to the place where the Lord is. And think about it. A road, the value of a road is where it takes you. If we build a beautiful road that goes just to nowhere, that's not really a big benefit, is it? But if the road leads to the Lord, that's a road you want to be on. And we're literally going to be on this thing, leading right up to the kingdom. Notice what it says. No lion shall be there. It's going to be a place of safety, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon it. Now, again, he's not saying that the animals will be attacking people. The animals will be tame again. They won't be meat eaters, if you will. They'll be back to the original creation. He's simply making the point. It's going to be a place of safety. None of these things, ravenous beasts or lions, will be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. That is the Temple Mount with singing. So there we are singing. Keep that in your mind. With everlasting joy on their heads. Again, we're going to be rejoicing forever from that point on. No more sorrow. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Does anybody have sorrow and sighing? I was reading this today and it hit me. You know, when I'm sorrowful, I go, you know, don't we do that? We get sorrowful and we sigh. You know, sometimes I feel heavy and I don't even know why. It's weird. I don't know if it's spiritual or what it is, but sometimes I'm trying to say, why are you sighing? I don't know. I didn't know I did until she told me. You know, and but it's gone. No more sighing. No more sorrow. Now picture this in your mind. I don't want to take too long on this because I want to cover some more territory. But imagine Jerusalem, the mountain lifted up in the new, on the new earth. Imagine forestation all over the planet, beautiful trees, giant cedars, giant redwoods. This Lebanon is going to be revived. It says they had 200-foot gigantic, they're like redwoods. There's going to be the beautiful, there'll be this highway leading up to this place. And as we're walking up, we'll all be singing and praising the Lord. We'll probably see the glow of the Lord coming off of Jerusalem as we get there. As we get closer, we'll hear the choirs and the angels and everyone singing as we get ready to get in the excitement building. There's going to be the stream coming off the side of it, the water running down probably under the bridge. I don't know for sure, but I picture that in my mind. Maybe not, but either way, if that's cool, we'll be up on this highway looking over the edge, you know, and we'll see that beautiful water rushing under us and the beautiful sparkling and the freshness of the air and the beautiful trees and the green and the fish and the animals. And it's going to be great. And then we're going to get into Jerusalem, and then we're going to walk in. There'll just be the praises going on and all kinds of banqueting and tables and food and rejoicing and praising. And that's day one. I don't know how many days. You have to do the math for me, how many 1,000 years is, 1,000 times, you know, 365 or whatever the days are on the time. But that's day one. We have 1,000 years of that. And no sorrow, just rejoicing, celebrating. Now, we're not going to be going up there every day, but you get the point. We'll be traveling on a regular basis up there and then whatever God has us doing. And then when that's done, you know what's going to happen? We're all going to walk up that highway of holiness. We'll all get into Jerusalem, and it tells us in Revelation, I'm opening up a can of worms because we don't have time to get into it, but you'll have to read the Word of God and trust me on this. Satan's going to be released at the end of that 1,000 years. And he's going to gather the people on the earth that have been born during that time that don't want to follow Jesus. And we're going to be in that glorious Jerusalem there with the Lord. They're all going to come against us and try to wipe us out. And the Bible says the Lord is going to go, and they're done. And then he's going to dissolve this earth. He's going to dissolve the heaven that we now know. And he's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that has never been tainted by sin from us or the fallen angels. And then it just starts all over again forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Besides that, I have no good news for you tonight. Is this great or what? I mean, when you meditate on it, I just think about it and I meditate on it and I go, oh my goodness. You know, and you think, well, and this is why does the Lord want us to know this? Because right now it can be hard, can't it? It can be hard. Some of you have very, very difficult situations. I imagine, I was thinking of it the other day. Look, life is hard enough without all the other things that are happening in the last days. You know, before the last days kicked in and all the, you know, the increase and all the stuff that we're seeing, the earthquakes and the death and now the plagues and viruses and the world getting weird and becoming one world government and the oppression we feel of the enemy moving in. Okay, before all that happened, it was already difficult enough at times, wasn't it? Just trying to survive. Well, now we have that and this on top of it. So the Lord wants you to know how great it's about to be so you can say, you know what, I can do this. I can do this for this short amount of time. I can handle this. I remember, I think it was Tracy saying one time, you know, I can do anything for 2 weeks. You know, really, no matter how hard it is, I can survive anything for 2 weeks. I don't know why 2 weeks, but either way, that's what she said. But I think that's, think about it. We can survive when we realize there's a great reward at the end. Some of you that have been into athletics, if you're ever a runner and you've run long distance or you've been involved in whatever summer sports or whatever thing might be, you think, okay, I know this. You got something wonderful planned afterwards. You know, you're going to get a shower and all the Gatorade and go out and eat and have some fun or whatever. You can endure this last 30 minutes of this coach yelling at you and you're dying or whatever the case might be. That's kind of where we are now. We're kind of under the pressure of the enemy and the world, but we have a great feasting time and rejoicing afterwards that's never going to go away. It's just great. Anyway, I'm excited about it. All right, I've said enough about it. Chapter 35, now we come back down to earth. I'm just kidding. There's nothing to be sad about. It's great. That was my, anyway. Now we get in chapter 36, so look what it says. It says, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. So now we see the Assyrians coming in, getting ready to take over that whole region. Remember now, the Assyrians were the world power at this time. And then when the Assyrians fade out, which is going to be very soon, then Babylon starts to rise up. 100 to 150 years later, we'll see Babylon taking everything over. And so they're the next major kingdom to come on the scene. But right now, Babylon's really a nobody. Assyria is ruling the world. They're taking over the whole region there of Judah. And verse 2, then the king of Assyria sent to the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem.
Thank you for joining us today for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is coming to you from Calvary, Knoxville, in Knoxville, Tennessee. As Pastor Mark proceeds in his series on the book of Isaiah, we eventually see that Isaiah's words of warning go unheeded. Despite his best efforts, the people of Israel and Judah continue to rebel against God, and they open up attacks from the enemies in Assyria and Babylon. If this were any other nation, this would likely have been the end of their story, but not for Israel. See, as God's chosen people, the Lord supernaturally protected the Israelites, even in their rebellion and exile. We are given hope, even in moments of despair, because we know that the Lord will eventually make a way for all to come home. While we may have sinned in the past, the Lord gives us a clean slate and allows us the opportunity to make the right choices in the future. We're never going to be able to serve Him perfectly, but we can strive to serve Him as best we can every single day. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to serve God, you can visit our website at thewaymedia.net. While you're there, click on the Come to the Table link and then click on Questions and Comments so that you can get connected with us. You can also find more studies from Pastor Mark on various books of the Bible to help guide you in your own studies through God's Word. Well, we're just about out of time for today's program. Pastor Mark is going to continue his series on the book of Isaiah next time. So we hope you'll join us once again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.